Hello and welcome to League Lore and More. Today we are finishing the story we started last week with as kind of our intro to Ixtal. Just as a reminder, we are following a Noxian commander. She's just been giving her own command, her own ship, and she is venturing in very, very deep into the river, leading into what is the Ixtal jungle. Not that they know it by that name, they don't. We are about to kind of get to where the ship will stop, and that's kind of where we pick up today in the story. We will finish the story and then go from there on our journey through Ixtal. So, I hope you learn something, and I hope you enjoy it, and I will give some comments afterwards, and then go from there. Isard saw to her command to remain sharp, consulting with the ship's navigator as he worked to chart the course of the river, followed by an inspection of the ship's stores. She climbed back up to the main deck, picking a rat weevil out of her ration of Bloodcliff's hardtack when she heard shouting. "What is it?" she demanded as she climbed onto the main deck. Ordelon listened to the guide. "He says he will go no further." Isard frowned. "Why here?" She looked around, the river and jungle no different than anywhere else in the past days. Yet the riverman was panicking, as though they had broken some invisible boundary they were never meant to cross. The little man gestured frantically to the crew around him. He pointed to the patches of red, weeping flesh on their bodies. Isard had noticed the affliction spreading amongst the crew, despite her efforts to divine its source. She even found signs of it on herself. "It is the jungle," Ordelon translated as the guide ranted. "He says it is punishing us. It will not let us in." "Cowardly little thing," thought Isard. She looked at Ordelon. "So be it. Get him off my ship now. Throw him overboard if you have to. We aren't turning back now." The Ardentius sailed on, now more than a week's travel into the interior. The past days had seen no wind to fill her sails, not even a slight breeze to carry her forward. On Isard's command, teams of the crew had disembarked, wading to their shoulders as they strained to haul the frigate with ropes and heavy chains. The effort was enormous, and with the treachery of the river's shifting banks, the crew continued on after finding the current with 9 fewer souls than it had started with. Mist shrouded the river, obscuring it from view. The primordial tree line swelled, branching over the water to link the opposite banks in an ever-deepening canopy that closed in and stole away all but the barest trace of light. Isard had the distinct sensation that the ship was moving downward, not forward, into the dark heart of this unexplored land. The jungle was swallowing them. Rain had come without warning and carried on for days, somehow piercing the impenetrable canopy of the jungle to soak the Ardentius and her crew to the bone. It was as though this place was actively seeking to unravel them, punishing intruders for daring to cross into its domain. The crew believed as much. The departure of their river guide hung over the crew with the oppression of a storm cloud. The most superstitious of them muttered, seeing dark omens in every tree and in the shape of each ripple in the frigate's hull, cast across the dark water of the river. Even the most cynical of the naval soldiers were on edge, only able to hear such ramblings for so long before they began to see patterns themselves. Isard knew in her heart it would not be long before the tension cracked some of them, and examples would have to be made. Sooner than she had thought and hoped, she was proven right. "Turn the ship around," came a panicked cry. "Now!" "Easy now, Cross," said Ordelon, straining to keep his voice calm. "This is a death ship, a cursed ship." The trapper hurried toward Ordelon, seizing him by the lapel of his storm coat. "You all heard the river man. Nothing ever comes back from this jungle, nothing." Ordelon flicked his gaze over the surrounding crew, heavy beads of condensation dripping from the wide frayed brim of his hat. He saw it in their eyes, Cross's words reflected in each of them. No more of that, he snapped, shoving Cross back. We'll have no talk of curses here. Get yourself together. We have to turn back, the crazed trapper begged, eyes wild as he repeated the plea again and again. We have to. Cross never finished his sentence. He gasped hard as a sword's tip emerged from between his ribs. Then he toppled to the deck. Isard cleaned her blade. Sometimes being right was a heavy burden to bear. I've hunted beside that man longer than you've been alive, Ordelon snarled. What gives you the right? We don't stop, said Isard coldly. Not for anything or anyone. A grinding crash threw Isard from her bunk. She scrambled to her feet, buckling on her weapons and sprinting out onto the deck. The end of the river had come abruptly. The inlet looked as though the tangles of vines and slick trees had engulfed the water, fed by a fan of streams that trickled out of the jungle or flowed up from beneath the muddy ground. The river has choked out, said Ordelon, gesturing to the wall of trees confronting the ship. We'll have to turn around, find another branch. Isard raised her spyglass, scanning ahead. Hauling the Ardentius around to find another route would take time she didn't have. Looking at her collected soldiers and senior crew, Isard doubted the weary and shaken survivors would be capable of moving the ship in such a way. 10 had died in the past days, another one by execution for refusing to man his post, and 6 to the strange infectious disease afflicting them. 3 had simply vanished in the night, those taking their shifts finding no trace when dawn arrived. We keep a skeleton crew aboard and strike out from here, said Isard to the assembled ranks. We will either find something of worth to claim for the Empire or establish an outpost to launch further expeditions inland. Armsman Starm, distribute blades to the shore party. Starm hesitated. Commander, no crossbows, no powder bombs. Isard drew her sword and addressed the entire party. Such weapons will be useless in the undergrowth. We do this the old way. She glanced at Ordelon, who had gathered his hunting party around him. This is what you came for, is it not, Beastmaster? The master trapper was somehow still his confident, boisterous self, even after the ordeal of the river passage. We're after a big one, boys, he said. Bring everything. We need to bag one and keep it. Spread the load amongst us all, and be ready to move when the commander's lads step off. We stick with them. His men dispersing, Isard approached Ordelon. I'm surprised to see us in accord for once. The jungle was brutal. No other word came to Isard's mind. For all the river's trials, it had been paradise compared to this. They had to fight through it, hacking and cutting into the solid mass of vines and thick vegetation. There was no air to breathe, only a thick, humid fog that stung the throat and eyes. It wasn't long before exhaustion set in. Isard had a dreadful sense of being watched from both everywhere and nowhere at once. And one by one, men began to disappear from the rear guard and flanks. Most vanished in silence, but a few were torn into the undergrowth with a scream, crying out for help. Within hours, Isard's force of 30 naval soldiers and trappers had been whittled down by half. Stay together, she shouted, cuffing the pouring sweat from her eyes. She struggled to focus, her head buzzing and her flesh burning down from the red patches that now covered her torso and limbs. She couldn't stop now. She wouldn't stop now. They had to keep moving. A call rang out from the forward scout, and Isard trudged to the head of the column. There was a small break in the jungle ahead, with a shallow pool of black, turgid water at its center. It was cramped, but still blessedly open compared to their trek thus far. Don't touch that water, Isard ordered her soldiers, in spite of her own thirst. We rest for now, but be ready to move. Sitting down, Isard looked up to see Ordelon, holding out a battered tin flask to her. After a moment, she grudgingly took it as he sank down beside her. Isard glanced at him, seeing the poise that he had held throughout their voyage beginning to fray. Don't get too sentimental, said the trapper. With or without you, I'd be here, in this accursed place. I've got no choice. Isard frowned at him. Looking to see that his men were out of earshot, Ordelon leaned in close. My business is bankrupt, he whispered. What little coin I had was spent bringing me here. One last chance to save my name. Either I bring back a beast that packs the arenas and pays off my debts, or I don't come back at all. Ordelon sighed, taking the flask back and taking a short pull. So, what brought you here? Duty, answered Isard, looking out into the jungle. When I return from here, having brought this place into Noxus, they will name it after me. The noble name of Tomiri used to mean something. Before Grand General Swain and his purges, my conquest will echo through history, a legacy for all time. They said you were vain, Ordelon chuckled. I suppose they reached their fill of it, arranging this fool's errand. I see what they meant now, he said with a curious softness. And for that, I am sorry. Wait, Isard frowned as she sought the meaning in his words before the sound of splashing water broke her respite. I said stay away from it, she snapped. That isn't us, said Ordelon, gazing into the jungle. Isard looked at the pool, seeing the trees above shaking in its reflection. Branches snapped loose to crash down to the ground and into the water. Then she heard it. A pounding tread, accompanied by the sound of trees cracking and a low, wet rumble. A shape began to resolve from the jungle, shoving its way through the dense vegetation to rear an enormous fanged head. Isard froze. She had seen basilisks before, as mounts for riders or beasts of burden. She had seen adults so large they could smash down the walls of besieged cities. This one was larger. The creature glared down at them, and loosed a roar loud enough to throw those standing from their feet. Yes, the triumphant voice jarred Isard from her shock. She turned to see the Beastmaster, snapping together a harpoon and bola as he grinned up at the monster. Come on now, you beautiful thing, Ordelon bellowed, madness creeping into his voice as he brandished the tools of his trade. Let's see who's bigger, you or me. Isard felt the ground quake beneath her with every step the monster took, strong enough to nearly throw her from her feet. She heard the basilisk's primal roar and the screams of men, knowing that the famed Beastmasters was among them. But she didn't look back to see what happened to him. She was too busy sprinting in the opposite direction. Isard finally skidded to a halt at the edge of a clearing in the jungle, placing a hand against a tree for support as she fought to catch her breath. She could no longer hear the commotion of Ordelon and the basilisk, but she could imagine what had happened in the end. She looked up after several deep lungfuls of air, taking stock of what remained of her command. There were six of them in total, including herself. Ragged, drained, and terrified, only three of them still carrying weapons. Ordelon's trappers had stayed with their employer until the end. Despair struck Isard like a physical blow, and she fought to keep from sinking to her knees. Look! One of the soldiers called out, pointing with his sword. Isard peered into the clearing and saw it, an arching shape, overgrown by vines, but still utterly alien in this stifling environment. It was stone, a structure. They hurried toward it, creepers and brambles snapping as they crossed the break in the undergrowth. The building was simple, an austere construction completely overrun by the jungle. Thick vines wound through the crumbling stone, likely the ones keeping it standing. It seemed unnaturally overgrown, as though this place was actively seeking to subsume it and grind it to dust. The survivors split up, searching in and around the squat cube of plant-choked stone. Isard stopped before it, a feeling she could not define welling up in her throat. She ripped away the clinging tangle of vines covering the surface, seeing the script chiseled into the stone, in a language she had known all her life. This... Her tongue went thick and dry as she struggled to form the words. It's a Nox Torah. Revelations came at Isard in a queasy tide. They were not the first of the Empire to come here. There had been others, and from her own journey and the state of this outpost, their fate was clear, as was hers. She had been sent here to die. given a command she was desperate to undertake, leading her to the edge of the world in a place that none had ever returned from. Isard had given every fiber of her being to forge a legacy. Instead, she now stood on the precipice of striking the Temeri name from the face of history in the suffocating wilderness. There was nothing for them in the abandoned outpost. Isard led the other survivors back into the jungle, hacking a new path through the dense undergrowth. To their fevered minds, it seemed like fresh roots and creepers were winding back into place even as they passed. When they happened upon the Ardentius, it was almost by accident. They practically ran into its prow. Vegetation had consumed the frigate, even filling over the inlet around it. It almost appeared as though the vessel itself had somehow grown out of the jungle. Isard saw shapes sticking up from the deck like broken pillars. Her blood went cold. The crew. They had been devoured and overgrown just as the ship had been. Each man and woman was on their feet, like statues covered in vines. "The jungle," she stammered. "It's taken it." Panic began to take hold of the remaining soldiers. "What do we do?" Armsman Starm shouted. "What do we do?" "We make for the river," murmured Isard. "Find our way to the bank. Follow it back to the delta." "There's no way we can make it out of here on foot. You saw what happened to the other commanders. The jungle. Damn the jungle," she snapped. "It is trees and vines, insects and beasts. You are a soldier of Noxus. There is nothing here that can defeat you." Isard wasn't certain she believed the words herself. Something was different about this place. There existed some dark, impossible presence here. Something that even the might of the Empire was unable to tame. But she would not yield to despair. "If you want to die here, alone and unremembered, then so be it." She gathered the last of her strength. "I will not accept such a fate. Any with the strength to follow me, come. This place will not be the end of Isard Temeri." The low grumble from his stomach and thoughts of his family waiting at home in the village had lashed the boy's focus to his line as he squatted on the riverbank. He was rewarded with a firm tug. The boy gave a whoop of relief triumph as he hauled the fish from the water, wriggling and glistening in the light. He didn't notice the shape floating toward him until it was an oar's length away. The boy frowned, the fish in his basket forgotten as the object came closer. He waded out into the soft riverbed, taking hold of it and taking it back with him onto the bank. Driftwood had many uses in the village and could be traded away if he could drag it back home. But it wasn't driftwood. The boy gasped as he saw a face staring up through layers of creepers and moss. It was a dead person, though the boy could not tell if it was a man or woman. It reminded him of the preserved elders of the village exposed each year for the ancestor feasts. It was clad in scraps of dark, battered armor, edged in tarnished red, adorned with a rusted symbol that meant nothing to the boy. Something was clutched in its gnarled, lifeless hands. With a strain of effort, he tugged it free. It was a small book, tightly wrapped in sodden, worn leather. As the boy turned the journal over in his hands, the corpse burst open, and a snarl of bright green vines slowly slithered out from it. A glittering cloud of spores rose from the cavity, and the boy flinched away, coughing. Book in hand, the boy ran, scratching at the insistent itch that had started on the back of his neck. All thoughts of fish forgotten as he fled for home. So as we can see, the jungle of Ixtal is unforgiving, deadly, and does not give up her dead. For anyone confused, like there's breaks in the story that I don't do as great a job of kind of demonstrating. So we kind of shift from where Isard says that this will not be the end for her, and then the boy seeing a body floating. We don't know whose the body that is, but necessarily. Or who the boy is, but there was a shift there from the character perspective. And the jungle seems to have a deadly disease that it spreads as well, as we see with the boy itching the back of his neck, probably similar to the thing that the sailors all had when they were getting red in spots on their body. Isard, not a character in the game, neither is Ortolan. Doubt they ever would be. And interesting that they were able to stumble upon an old Noxian outpost from a previous group that was sent there to die, essentially, to get rid of people that are critical of Swain, who is the leader of Noxus, who we will discuss in great detail when we come to the Noxian series. So that's interesting. I mean, it's not unexpected, at least in my mind. I can definitely see that they would do this to somebody and seemingly not care about wasting 30 plus lives of people. And I doubt they understand how effective the jungle is at killing them, but I'm sure they will be happy with the result once they never hear from Isard again. And unfortunately, a Beastmaster, so I guess you could say kind of like a civilian, and his crew also died along with it. But that I don't think that's going to keep Swain up at night. So Ixtal is just a super dense jungle. The journey here kind of reminded me of the film Apocalypse Now. Just a days on end journey up a river. And then just dense jungle. And things inside that will murder you. And now now we can continue on with some cool jungle creatures that are ruthless. Some are cute. Others are very, very efficient at killing you. And I'm looking forward to doing all of those in the coming weeks. And so without further ado, we will sign off for the day and be back next week with our first character from the game that resides or is partially from Ixtal, and go from there. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all next week.